Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Senior Pastor Reggie Green.
Acts chapter 2, and I want to talk about, I'm going to talk about a simple thing called love, but love in a different way. I don't think you ever seen, maybe you didn't see it this way before. I never did, and I believe God's really going to help us. Starting in verse 1, Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the fulfillment of a promise that Jesus gave his people. He said, look, I don't want, when you go to Jerusalem, don't budge, don't move until the promise of the Father has come. And it was a promise of an added dimension, a supernatural power or enablement. And he says it would come, you know, and so there, we know the story. They're in the upper room, they're praying and they're believing God. And it says when the day of Pentecost came, all of a sudden this supernatural manifestation happened. It happened. We put all the emphasis. I understand speaking in tongues. I got that one, man, and praying in a heavenly language. And I understand that the Holy Ghost would also give us power, power to preach. And as you read the rest of this text, you can see Peter and him preaching with boldness and then how people responded. I got that part where the Holy Ghost gives us boldness, but I never ever saw it in this way where the Holy Ghost is attached to love. I knew it was there, I just couldn't see it, but I want you to roll with me. So go down to second, Acts chapter 2, and it says, don't lose it, Reg. Okay, here we go. Verse 40. And it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This is the first reference of the church. This is the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the gospel being preached in power and simplicity, and thousands of people coming to Christ, giving their life to God and becoming part of this particular society. You know what I mean? It's like God's making an introduction. This is something different, a different community, a different, an amazing society that the world had never known and had ever seen. What was unique about this group of people, what was unique about this society is they had no directorate. They had no one leading it, you know, per se. There was no committees and you know, the leadership wasn't gifted and super talented and had went to school and had knowledge and understanding. No, the Bible tells us that Peter, James, and John and the apostles were all very simple and very plain men. It was a ministry or a group of people or a society without resources, man. It's like they lacked money. They didn't have a lot going on. There wasn't a lot of money rolling and big time giving. They didn't have all the lights and the camera and the action and all the things that a lot of times people are expecting from a church. You know, it was just composed of very simple and very plain people. And so, and it also was birthed in the midst of a group of people or a society of people who did not like them and couldn't stand them and actually hated them and wanted to destroy them. And at the resources of those particular people, they had great strength and was able to even crush this thing, but it did not happen. It didn't happen. And so the birth of the church is a miraculous thing, a very supernatural thing, and it's very, very special. It was very, very unique. And around this society, around these people, are centered all the hopes of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's like this organization, this society, these people, this thing wasn't birthed without a reason, but it had a purpose, and that purpose was to bring forth the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all the world. The church, the Bible says, is the pinnacle, you know, or the pillar and the ground of truth. And it is the church is God's instrument in the earth to get the things done that God wants to get done. And so God has a lot invested in the church and a lot of expectation in the church. He actually gave himself for it. You know him, that our Savior laid down his life for the birth of the church. And he has filled each and every one of us so that he could actually be the controller, the director, the minister of his church. The Bible says he is the head. And we respond to the head and we follow the Holy Ghost for direction and for guidance. He's putting a lot of risk in the church. You read the Bible, you can see the church throughout history and all that it's going through. But God himself has put a lot in the church and taken a great risk. A great risk. And there's mainly because he's dealing with people. He's dealing with us. You know, and we're not always the best and we're imperfect and we got tons of issues. And yet you and I are the people who make up the church. There is one characteristic that has to happen, that has to be happening and flowing through a church, flowing through a ministry in order for it to survive. And as I'm looking at that, I said, I'm reading it. And I said, if we begin with this, let's go to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it says the greatest commandment was the what? Is that you would love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you would love your neighbor as yourself. This was the chief, the first, the greatest commandment. Jesus said that. And yet this was the area where people failed the most. This is where, you know, where people didn't love God with all their heart, their mind, and their soul, but people went after other gods, and we as people failed God over and over again. And we may not bow down to idols and things like that today. And, you know, like I said, it's not like our issue, but we have other idols. Other things that we put first in life, and whether it's material things or whether it's education or whether it's people and relationships or whether it's money, and there's plenty of things that people can put before God. But we have lots of other idols, things that we bow down to and we show respect for and fear for. And so we failed in this, in the issue of loving God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. The chief commandment is one that you and I cannot forsake. If you look at the language of the Gospels and how important loving God and loving people is, it says here in John chapter 7, verse 21, this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And another place, Peter is dealing with Jesus is dealing with Peter, and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he's making an emphasis of how important it is that we would love him. And he's challenging his leader of his first church that you really do love me and you really do care about me, my interests and my purposes. This was essential. You couldn't get around it. And you hear Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Saying, he says, you know what? He says, no matter what I do in the kingdom of God, he says, if I don't have love, then I don't have nothing. I am nothing, especially in the kingdom of God. And 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. And then when you read in John, and John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so we read scripture after scripture, and that's just a small portion about how important it is for us to love God and for us to love each other and for us to love people. This is an absolute essential. This isn't something that we can just do on the side. This is like first and foremost, our love for one another, our love for God, our love for people that we don't even know. The Bible makes this a priority for us. It is an absolute essential, especially in the health of a church, that you and I have love for each other. And I'm not just talking about just, warm, gooey feelings. I'm talking about a real, genuine, agape love, the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated by laying down his life for us. The scripture, I think it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And that's talking about a suffering type of love, a sacrificial type of love, a giving, a serving type of love. And this is what he's talking about today. This church, the church of Jesus Christ, cannot survive without this. And the day of Pentecost, what we have just read here in Acts chapter 2, and I said, this is what slipped me and I had not seen before, was that when God poured out the Holy Spirit, he was enabling people for the very first time to fulfill this commandment. Because isn't that where we struggle? When it comes to, like I said, our relationship with God is a lack of real love for him. Loving him to the point where we would sacrifice other things, that he would be first and foremost in our life. We'd have to be honest about that. Isn't it true that the thing that we struggle with more than anything else is loving other people? Especially people who have done things or said things or misunderstood us or stabbed us in the back or let us down. And yet this is the commandment that we have. And it is in this place, this was the secret, of the church's victory, was this love that was birthed by the Holy Ghost. It is love that constrains the church and moves the church forward and enables the church to be different than any other organization on the planet. It's the influence that you and I, as God people, have on the rest of the people on this planet. This is how we impact them. This is how we make an impact in their life. This is how we influence others. Is it not by our love and our appreciation and our genuine care and concern for people? This is how it works. It's not our intellectual ability. It's not by the measure of our gifts, but it's always the Holy Ghost and love being expressed and being demonstrated. All the other gifts that you and I might have and all the other talents and skills and things that we got going on are all good. But love reigns supreme. Love is not I like that word, patronize. Don't patronize me. It's almost like, Christians, we can get religious in saying it. Hold on, sun's shining on me. The light of the Lord is coming down on me. I'm good. I'm fine. I'll try it right here. Maybe. No, help me down here. Come on. Thank you. All right, here we go. Where was I at? Patronizing. I love you. Have you ever heard that, I love you, brother. I love you. So we can, Christian, it's like Christian lingo. I had somebody sitting at my table. This is the truth. I had somebody sitting at my table not too long ago telling me, I love you, Pastor. I love you. I'm committed. I got your back. And the very next day, they stop by again and say, oh, by the way, I'm leaving the church. You know what I mean? Men can say that. And I always get on men. Like I said, people can say that to their husband, to their wife. I love you. I love you. I love you. And yet they're not faithful. I love you, but I got somebody else on this. Never mind. It's another thing. It's not a patronizing affection, It's not a mere Christian courtesy, It's not something that we get to the point where it's just Christian lingo and we say it, but it's not. It's real. It's a love that hurts, It's a love that when we say we love each other, the love that God is talking about is one that costs. Costs his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave, He sent, he sacrificed his son, in demonstration of his love for you and I. Love is an action more than an emotion and a feeling. Come on now. Love is more of an action than it is a love and a feeling. Believe me, like I said, I don't think the Lord, our God, was happy and excited and full of goosebumps and feeling so wonderful that he was sacrificing his son Jesus. No, he's doing it out of its pain. It's going to cost him for an expected end, a better end, the salvation of our souls. Love is not always a feeling. And could be, one thing is feelings come and go, you know, but love is an action, is something we do, whether we feel it or not. It is that love which is the first fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes inside of us, and this is what we get, it's like I'm getting slain when I'm studying this and seeing this, is, you know, except we, you know, when the Spirit of God comes inside of us, roll with me with this. The first fruit of the Spirit expressed through us should be love. I remember I gave my life to Christ, and I always use this silly little story. But I gave my life to Christ on a Saturday night, and Sunday morning, the people I've been ripping off in drug deals and all that stuff, I'm apologizing to. Now, that might seem silly and something old and something, but you know what? It was a big thing to me. I'm telling them, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry. And they don't even get it. They don't even get church. They don't get God. They don't get a born-again believer. They don't even know what happened to me. They think I snapped out, went crazy, too much cocaine, because I'm apologizing for what I've done to them. But I really believe that love is something. If we say that we're Christian, we're filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is in us, that love should be a natural flow. The first, very first thing that should be expressed through us to others. Are you with me? Hallelujah. One of the characteristics, I want to look at something else, and that is the characteristics of the church after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Looking at our scriptures, looking at these verses, imagine, they're praying. They got a hold of God. God visits them in a powerful way. He fulfills the promise. Down into the streets they go. They begin to preach because they got this boldness, man. And Peter, like I said, is expounding on scriptures and just blowing people away. People are mocking them and laughing at them and talking about they're full of, they're drunk, you know, and all. You can read the story. It goes on and on and on. And then things begin to get serious because Peter begins to get really serious about what he's preaching, and they begin to pay attention. And all of a sudden, they're pricked in their hearts. In other words, they're convicted, man. Their eyes have been opened. The Holy Ghost is working. And what their response to Peter and the other apostles is, what are we supposed to do, man? We're in trouble. We killed Jesus. And now we, like I said, they're hearing, you know, how guilty they are. They're beginning to feel their sin. They're beginning to get it. What should we do? And they begin to talk about repentance, and people were challenged to repent of their sin and give their life to God. And the Bible says that 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. How did they know that 3,000 people got saved? They were counting them. 3,000 decisions, 3,000 people stepped forward. And most likely that was just the men. They probably didn't even count the women and the kids. Most likely. But there's a great response to the message. And so they're coming forward. And the church began to gather. And so it's like, it's not organized. It's not perfect. They don't have perfect worship service and song service. They don't have the ushers. Set up yet. And the sound system. And who's going to do this in the nursery? And who's going to... No. This thing is raw. And it's barbaric. And it's not smooth at all. But it's very powerful, because the one thing that helped them and helped them survive and helped them link together was their love. But it says this. It says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And I like to say this. I said, when the Holy Ghost is working in somebody's life and through somebody's life, they want to know the teaching. They want to get into the Word. Are you with me? When someone is filled with God's Spirit, there's a natural hunger, there's a natural desire. And I remember, like I said, I didn't know the church service, I didn't know the service scheduled. I knew Christians went to church on Sundays, but that was about it. And on a Monday, I'm driving around in the church parking lot trying to find out what's going on. This is the second day after I gave my life to Christ. I want to hear more. I want to hear the Word of God preached in power and simplicity. For the very first time, I'm getting answers for my life. I am desperate. I'm hungry, and I'm a brand new convert. I just want to be there. I want to be around Christians. I want to be in the house of God. I don't know nobody. I don't know anything. And so a natural desire to be in the things of God. And it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's Acts chapter 2:42. This means that they had a love for the word of God. They went back to it over and over again. It wasn't about their opinions. It wasn't about their feelings, man. It's like, look, it's clear to us that God has a way and we're supposed to walk in that way. It's very clear that God has a plan and direction, and we have a responsibility to seek out that plan and that direction. How about that? It's not so much being told what to do. You know what a Christian, what Christians that really love God trip me out? Is you're not waiting to be told what to do. You're not waiting for God to just speak to you. You're seeking out his mind, his heart. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You're searching. You're looking. You want to please God. It is not like you don't want to hear nothing new. You don't want a new rule. You don't want a new do, a new don't. You don't want anything. You just want to go, no, no, no. Someone who loves God, you can read Psalm 119. That's the longest psalm in the Bible. And man, when you read what this guy is writing down, it trips you out, you know, when he starts talking about his love for the word of God, his love for the truth, his hunger. And this is in the Old Testament, man. He had to be born again because he had a genuine hunger for the word of God. And here it is, the church. It tells us when the church was birthed and the Holy Ghost is poured out. When I talk about love, it was a love for God, but also a love for the word of God. Then it says, they continued in fellowship. They had a love to be around other Christians. They had a love for the gathering together to worship and to praise and to pray and to give. They had a desire. They loved the church. They love the mystery of the church, how the church functioned, how it breathed, this community that we have, this society. I like that word. I never heard of the church being called a society, but that's exactly what we are. I had to look up the definition. I don't read the definition, but it's on the point. It's on point. And amongst us, this community, this group, you know what I mean? And not just us, but Christians around the world, but then specifically our particular church, it is a community of believers in relationship who spend time together. We're on the same page. We're headed the same direction. God is doing something special in our life. There's an acknowledgement of that. There's a celebration of that. It's not something that's kicked to the curb or counted slack or it's not of any value, but we're put in relationship with people who are different than us, and God ordained it to be that way so that we'd be molded and shaped. We'd be challenged to grow and to enlarge, to think differently. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad everybody doesn't think like I do. I don't know, some of you say, well, everybody should think like I think. Aren't you glad that there are people who are different than you are, different than we are, different backgrounds and attitudes and perspectives? And, you know, like I said, some of you are really into LeBron coming to the Lakers, and then others of you, like me, can't stand it. You know what I mean? But it's okay. It's all right. You can like the Cowboys, others can like Pittsburgh, or like the Raiders, and it's okay, and God has us together in the same house. Are you with me? We can have different nationalities and backgrounds and perspectives. Some of us were big-time sinners, others were just little sinners, but sinners nonetheless, and here we are together. They continued in fellowship, and that simply means they had a love for one another. This is the miracle. Do you catch it? That's it. The Holy Ghost was poured out. The very thing where people were failing in their love for God and their love for one another, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, this was the response. This is what was created. The very thing that God always wanted, the way he wanted his people to be. They continued in fellowship. Then in verse 44, it says, they were together. And in a togetherness, which meant that they were sharing of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus, which they expressed in a great love one for another. You know what I mean? They practice it. It was moving. It was on the march, man. If you read the scripture, it says people from different nationalities and backgrounds and parts of the country, this is who was doing this. People who one time hated each other, now they're joined together. That's the beauty. That's the miracle of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And then it says they continued in the breaking of bread. And that meant their love for the Lord. All of them together, exercising their worship, being on the same page about serving God and loving God and supporting one another in the Lord and uplifting one another in the Lord. They had a serious love for God. It was given to them supernaturally, man. The Holy Ghost was working in their life. And I tell you, that's the beautiful thing. And you know, I'm going to talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And I actually realize this too, you know. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that Christians could and should be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that when someone is filled with the Holy Ghost, and that one of the signs of that is that you would speak in other tongues. I believe that. The scripture shows that. This is what I used to weigh me down, man, why people didn't get the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I pray for them. You know what? My conclusion is this. It's your responsibility to seek Him out. It's not my job to pray for you and get you the Holy Ghost. Ultimately, even though I do pray for people, but we have a responsibility. And I remember being in a room. I'm in the military when I gave my life to Christ, and it was like a couple weeks before. I'm going to church and going to church. The church is a Pentecostal church, but it took a while before I actually even heard what was going on in the church, you know, like people speaking in tongues and praising and clapping their hands. And when it dawned on me that they were, and I began to inquire and ask what this was about, and some people said, look, you know, and explained to me in the scripture that I should, you know, that God wants to do this for me and fill me. And when they prayed for me, I didn't speak in tongues. You know, I didn't feel anything. Nothing happened. But out of my hunger and my desire for the things of God, I'm in my room, in my barracks. I read the scriptures. I see what the Bible says. I'm watching this come down. And whatever's in that word, the Bible, if it's in there for them, it's in there for me. If it's in there, it's in there for you. You know, prosperity, healing, direction, grace, mercy, all that. Okay, if it's written in there, then I want that. It's not like God's retired and He's not doing that anymore. That's not true. But on my knees and in my room, the same chair that I used to sit around and smoke dope in that I thought I was so cute at, and like I said, now I'm on my knees with my face in that chair and I'm crying out to God and ask God to fill me with His Spirit. God, I want it. The scripture says it. And it was in that room when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've already given my life to Jesus. I've already been born again. You know what I mean? But now God is empowering me with the Holy Ghost. And it was in that place because I was seeking God myself. I hungered, I thirst by the grace of God. And God responded to the hunger and the thirst that He put in me. How you like that? And it's the same with everyone here. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we're able to love the way God wants us to love. And that is preeminent. Are you with me? Verse 42, they were breaking bread together, and that just simply meant their love for the Lord. And they continued in prayers, which simply meant that their love for the place of prayer. That's another thing. They loved each other. They gathered together, and they loved prayer. You see, that's supernatural, man. That's not coming. Like I said, how come some people love to pray and then others don't? We can bake that one all day, but very simply, these people had a desire to pray after they were filled with the Spirit of God more than ever before. I ain't talking about just one time praying. No, they're getting a hold of God. It's their lifestyle. And they're pressing in because they want God to move. Are you with me? This was the force that mastered and controlled this entire church. Their love. That was the fabric. That is how the church functioned. Imagine if you had a family, just roll with me. Now let's imagine a family full of love. You just love each other, man. In all areas, words and actions, in failings, Imagine a whole, you know, not just your immediate family, but then everybody, you know, your aunts and uncles and grandma, nana, tata, everybody. Your crazy tia, you know what I mean? Everybody just begins to, hey, because of the Spirit of God in us, begin to love like Jesus would want us to love. What would that do to your family? What would that do to your home? What would that do in your marriage? What would that do in our church? Testing. Devil hit the button. Are you following me with this one? The power of love. And so a I love you, brother. I love you. That's real love, too. But just imagine how things would be, and especially in their church. Anytime there's a misunderstanding, anytime there would be a misunderstanding, it would be worked out. Would it not? Because the person who caused a misunderstanding, their heart's full with love. The person who got misunderstood, their heart is filled with love. They would work out their issues and talk them through. No big deal. Like, man, we're human. Things happen. So let's, brother, sister, I love you. Let's go on. Husband and a wife. Things pop up. Things happen. But because of your love for each other, you're willing to forgive and go on. And you're willing to give understanding. You're willing to be patient. You're willing to be long-suffering. You're willing to turn the other cheek. You're willing to work things through. Why? Because of love. One time, in my family, one time my cousin did something. I can't even explain it right. But imagine, I went over to my, I can't even talk about it. It ain't going to come out good. It will not come out good. But long story short, I go to my cousin's house with a knife. Because I'm a, that's the way, we had a loving family, but there were some limits to our love, man. You know what I mean? I'm sure, can you imagine that? My cousin, who's my best friend, he's going to cut me. I'm going to cut him. My aunt gets involved, says, my mom sent me around here. Yeah, your mom sent you here with that knife. Can you imagine? I know none of you guys got families like that. You know, that's the way I was raised. You guys are raised differently. We had stuff happening, you know, in our family. But I'm saying love is preeminent. And it's what makes things work. It makes it, you know, how about you in the nursery? If one of your kids beat up another kid in the nursery, what do you think's going to help really resolve that issue? What's really going to help? Or your little boy bites somebody's little girl back here in the nursery?
I'm coming to this church.
Okay, all right. Is that what's going to happen? Is your care, your love, that shallow, that when stuff happens, we're not willing to work it out and fix it and get over it because of, you know, our ties, our family, our love, the relationships that we have. Relationships are so shallow in our life that we're willing to walk away from them because there's misunderstandings. Is that the way we are? We have no depth. We have no character. There's consequences to this. And when I use the word consequences, it's not in the negative. It's good. When this happened, this love was flowing in the church, you know. Verse 43 of our text says that fear came upon every soul. Because of the love, because of the unity, because of the oneness, because they were on the same page, because they were loving God with all their heart, their mind, and their soul, they're serving one another, forgiving one another, that something happened. something supernatural, something that was way beyond them. Remember I said they were weak, they were broke, they were uneducated, they didn't have a lot going on, but the Holy Ghost did something on them, did something for them, did something through them. Everybody began to fear them. And I ain't talking about a fear of afraid, but I'm talking about awe and respect. They're looking at this wonderful thing called the church. They never seen it before, but now they're beholding and looking at this religious organization. You know, everybody in that point, up to that point, was real religious, and now you got this group of people who are different, who pray with love in their hearts and joy, and they sing and they gather together and they celebrate. They're not like us. They're not rigid. They're not cruel. They're not mean. They're not insensitive. They're not prejudiced in their own ways. No, there was something powerful that God was doing something in them and through them. And it says that people feared. They had a sense of awe which gripped their hearts, man, as they're beholding this. And you know what I mean? The same type of thing when we sense the presence of God, you know, like somebody was telling people who would come, and I hate it, but I got it, and I like to hear the story. When people come to our church and it's like they feel the presence of God and it's so thick and so heavy, they leave and don't come back. You know what I mean? And that trips me out. And I want them to come, you know, but I've had over the years different people say, man, I can't do that one. And I said, I like that. I said, well, we're on the right track. But this is what's happening in the book of Acts, you know what I mean? This is what they're going through, you know? And so they're in verse 47, then it says, not only do they have, was fear come upon every soul, verse 47 says, they had favor with all people. Fear and favor. What a strange two things together. But this is the impact that they were making. You know what I like about this? Is it's attractive when people love each other, when a church loves each other, and love can be felt, and the power of the Holy Ghost can be felt. It's very attractive. Attractive to who? People who don't know God. You know what I mean? That's who comes. It says that the Lord added to the church. The church was multiplying daily. It was growing fast. Why? Because they're looking at this thing and going, what? I've been looking for love. I want to be part of something bigger than myself. All my friends are backstabbers. All of them lie and they cheat. And like I said, and whoever gets down first gets down. But here's a group of people who I can let my guard down and be me. I don't have to be fake. I don't have to put on a front. But I don't have to worry about somebody seeing my weakness or my fears or my insecurity. Why? Because they love and they cover and they support and they strengthen and they know the direction to go is towards the Lord. Come on now. People love that. People love a church where there's no pretense, you know, without arrogance and without pride and self-righteousness, but God gets all the glory and the praise for every good thing, and there's like a sense of desperation towards God and total dependency upon Him. When people see this, sense it, and feel it, man, it's something attractive. It's so different than a lot of churches today where you got to have a new trick, a new gizmo, a new gadget, a new gimmick. You got to, have Chuckles the Clown to come up and preach and tell some jokes or the latest big singer or you got to have this and you got to have that. And all they had was the Holy Spirit. That was it. And people were added to the church daily as the Lord wanted it to. He was, in other words, He was adding to the church Himself specifically. He said, man, there's some people here. Your lives are jacked up, tore up, messed up from the floor up. I want to bless you and help you. Here, go be part of this group of people here. And through this group of people, I'm going to bless you and help you. You're going to find dignity and respect and honor, and your life's going to be straightened out. And God was doing that by the numbers. Are you with me? And any ladies here got kids? If you wanted somebody to watch your kid, what are you looking for to take care of your baby? You want the person you can trust the most. You know what I mean? You want the person that's going to love them like you love them. As much as possible, someone who's willing to lay down their life for them. You know what I mean? That's who you want to take care of your kids. I got a feeling that God feels the same way. Why should he add to a church where the people are snotty, snooty, don't give a hoot? Why? The consequences of loving one another and letting the Holy Ghost move through our ministry, one of the consequences is that God will add to the church. Yes, he will. We won't have to chase and beg, please come to my church. You know what I mean? It's like people look, you know, nothing about having love flowing through your heart and a real relationship with God. It's like people look at you and say, I want what you have. Your people on your job, when they see you full of the Spirit of God and full of his love and his joy and his hope, and the words that come out of your mouth are good words, when people listen to you talk and people hear you and look at your lifestyle, they're attracted to that. And this is what we want to happen. That's a consequence. Hallelujah. And the last thing I want to look at is influence. When you love, you have the power of God flowing through your life, through your church, our ministry. God gives us influence. And I'm not talking about the influence. You know, when we talk about influential people, wait a minute, what's that word on, is it Instagram or Facebook? I'm an influencer? Is that right? I'm an influencer. I don't know, Kim Kardashian, she's an influencer. Why? Because she's got a million some odd followers, and then her other sisters got them. Or this rapper, I'm an influencer. This person's an influencer. Because why? You make so money, you made, I don't know, some money out selling, you know, with a record, and you got yourself a car and all that, and you're going to pace yourself on Instagram, and all of a sudden you got influence. I don't want that influence. We need the influence of the Holy Spirit. How about the influence? What you would want is that when you speak, wouldn't you like that when you speak about things that really make a difference, that your words have weight and power and authority, and people can respond to that? Wouldn't you like to have, when you're talking to your kids, you know, your kids ain't, you know what I mean, just think, oh, there's mom just going off on another religious tangent, or there's dad, and he just going, you know, he's throwing the Bible at us again, you know. But no, but because the Holy Ghost anoints what you say, and your words have truth, and they mean something, that when you speak, your kids can listen, and they got it. Or you're talking to someone about Jesus, man, and you say, it's like, you know, some people you hear them talk about Jesus in between token on a joint, or you know what I mean, or like I said, or somebody's sitting at a bar and they start talking about God. It's hard to hear from them people. But ain't nothing like the gospel coming from somebody who really loves the Lord and they're sold out for the things of God, and you start talking about Jesus, and people have been watching your lifestyle for years. Years they've watched you go through the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, but your words have weight and power and authority because you stayed faithful to God. You kept it real. And so now when this person who's not saved, when the stuff is hitting the fan in their life and they're looking for some real answers, who are they going to? They're coming right towards you. Because of the words that you speak and the lifestyle that you live. You see, this is what we want. Salt of the earth, light of the world. This is the influence that God gives us. This is the influence that we want our church to have. The testimony that we want to have in the San Fernando Valley. One where we make impact because we're real. Real people serving a real God. Real answers. You know what I mean? And that comes from, first and foremost, if I'm looking at the scripture in Acts chapter 2, they got it from the Holy Ghost. What did they get from the Holy Ghost? The ability to love. That is the thing that we have to let flow through our lives and through our ministry at home, on our job, every place. Because everything else, anything less than that, that ain't going to cut it. Because that's Jesus' standard. Are you with me? I'm done. Ranting and raving. How many want to do something for the Lord? Can I challenge you with this? Every Wednesday, we started doing this thing, and it ain't a gimmick. Somebody called it. I was just,
You're just trying to do something to get the church to grow.
I just want God. So all we did was move the prayer meeting from there to here. Asked the worship team to sacrifice their practices, which they did, so that we could gather together to get a hold of God together. Why? Because I read that in the book of Acts. That's why. I saw it as in the script. Yep, let's do that, you know. But as a church, we get a hold of God and we pray right up here in the front. Every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 7:30, the service kicks off. We go from right into prayer into worship. But I'm saying this, some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All of us, we all do. But some of you not. You hadn't been. And it's on. And like I said, it's your responsibility first and foremost to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First and foremost, I challenge you, at least where I'm praying for people, and where my wife is praying for people, and we're praying for, it's at that altar on Wednesday nights, man, we're getting older, we're laying hands on people and praying people for specific things, and you might want to be in there getting a hold of God. Now, this ain't some gimmick, it ain't something that we're doing from time to time. No, we want revival. We want God to pour out his Spirit first in us, and then let it flow out into the rest of this area. Are you with me? Come on, church. And I do want to give credit to Carolina, who, like I said, I ain't going to forget her. Like I said, when there was only her and one other person praying back, they said, please keep doing that. Keep doing it. And that was months ago. Do not stop the prayer meeting. Keep right on going until, and sure enough, now it's grown and it's bigger and people are really, the light's coming on. I want to finish, I say this, as if also the Spirit of God is in you, he gives us a love for prayer. And so, I don't really love to pray. Well, then you got to start making room for Jesus to express himself through you. That's all. Come, bring your body and let God do the rest. God gives us a love for the assembly of the saints together. He gives us a love for the church. He gives us a love for fellowship. The Holy Spirit gives us a love for worship. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand his word. And God gives us, he gives us a love for one another. And if you're struggling in any of these areas, you have to say, you know what? I'm going to have to give God more room in my life. I have to give God more room. I have to stop being me and let the Lord be the Lord inside of me. Let me enlarge a little bit. Let me start changing my appetites and desires and start thinking differently. And God's going to help you. His desire, the Holy Spirit inside of you, is to make you love more. Make us love more. More like him. And so we got to get on board with that and say, okay, God, this is what you're working in me. I thought you were trying to give me something else, but God, you want me to love people? You want me to start loving you, loving the church, loving things? Okay, all right. Have your way. Not my will, but your will be done. Can you say amen? So anyway, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. I'll be praying. Like I said, you can ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Beto got filled, I think, watching a movie at his house. Watching a movie, that trips me out. You know what I mean? He's just asking God, he's seeing it, somebody's talking about it, whoa, man, and God comes down on him in his own house. But it's the desire and the hunger for what God has for you. That's what's most important. Hunger, desire precedes the fire. Desire, you got to have a desire first, and a desire for God to work in you more than ever before. Let God help you today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram @kirchurch.